Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. My name is Pastor Joshua. Me and my wife, Pastor Corinne, are the lead pastors here at Hope United. We just want to welcome you today. If it's your first time, you can scan the QR code behind me and connect with us. We would love to connect with you. You can find information about the church and go on a faith journey with us. Before we dive into the word today, let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, as we look at these words, your words, God, let them inspire us and cause us to live the life that you've called us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God has given us this word for the year, advance. And advance is a statement about that is true. It's a declaration over us as a people. And it is a command to move and take territory. Look at somebody and say, advance. If you'll truly receive this word and take it to heart, this is going to be a season for you that the things that have been tightly shut up are going to be released to you. The walls that you've seen are going to fall down, and you'll be able to walk into God's promises for you. We've been looking at Joshua 6 and the battle of Jericho on New Year's Eve. We talked about the word and the strategy. Then we talked about marching around your promise. It's important to zero in on what God has promised you and be focused. Last week, we talked about blowing the shofar, and we talked about how our personal devotion life before God has to be both consistent and at times intense. Blowing the shofar brings us together as a place of unity that makes us strong enough to cause walls to come down. If you've missed any of the advanced series, I encourage you to go back on the podcast, go back on YouTube, and listen to it. Today, specifically, I want to talk to you about the victory shout. Look at somebody and say, the victory shout. Joshua 6:16 says, the seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. You know, there is a sound that can make walls fall down. How many believe that today? I don't know if you're even aware of this, but there are certain sounds that can break down infrastructure. This is a scientific fact that when armies cross bridges, they break their rhythm so that they don't deteriorate the infrastructure. There is power when there are certain sounds. There's power when we speak. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when you begin to open up your mouth and speak or sing or declare something or shout, there's something powerful that happens. When we use our vocal cords, something is released. Vibration is released, and that sound is powerful and significant because it moves through the atmosphere. It reflects off objects. It bounces around and it communicates a message. There is significance when you open your mouth and you speak or you sing or you shout. Today we're talking about that. We're talking about the victory shout. And it's not only powerfully significant spiritually, but there's also a natural law when you release energy with your voice. Your voice literally reverberates through the atmosphere. Now, the people of God in Joshua 6 won a military battle, and it was both spiritual and natural in nature. God gave them a word and a plan that involved both spirit and natural elements. Pastor Corinne, in my prayer, has always been for our community here to be equipped, not just spiritually, but also to be powerful in the natural realm. God put us here on earth to be successful. How many believe that? To be successful spiritually and naturally. So the Battle of Jericho really shows us that in Joshua 6. It was won by using both spiritual and natural elements. if all this is true about the power of the voice, we have to be aware of what's coming out of our mouths. What type of language? Is it faith or is it doubt? Joshua said for 6 days, he said, stay silent. Don't say anything. And the reason why that was significant, because it was important that no doubt came out of their mouth as they were walking around for those 6 days. But he said on the seventh day, they gave a victory shout. So for 6 days leading up to the seventh day, they were quiet. They didn't say anything. The voice is important. And it's important that we have faith coming out of our mouth. Hebrews 11:6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. We have to have faith coming out of our mouth. We have to have faith in our heart. God has designed us to take dominion over atmospheres. God has designed us to win, but it starts with what you are speaking. It starts with what's coming out of your mouth. Romans 8:37 says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, God has called us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. But if you don't see yourself that way, you're not going to say the right words. If you don't see yourself that way, you're going to lose the battle. The words that are coming out of your mouth can be words of faith, or they can be negative words. They could be toxic words. They could be words that are contrary to your purpose. The songs that come out of your mouth need to be proclaiming victory over yourself. Far too often, we just sing any song that we hear on the radio. We just hear any song that pops up when we're going here or there. And oftentimes, these songs are not by people of faith, but people that are confused and trying to figure life out. The songs that come out of our mouth should be songs that declare victory and honor God. And the shout, the intensity that comes from our mouth should be intentional and directed towards the victory that we want to see produced in our lives. Don't waste your best victory shouts on a sports team. Don't waste your best victory shouts on some music artist that's here today and gone tomorrow. Use your best victory shouts on honoring God and bringing walls down in your life. There is power in your voice. Don't waste it. Look at somebody and say, don't waste it. Don't waste it. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Let faith come out of your mouth, not doubt. Let life come out of your mouth, not death. Far too often we can say things that are not faith and we shoot ourselves in the foot. God is looking to bless us and then we just blah, let the wrong thing come out of our mouth. The enemy wants to use your doubts against you. The enemy wants to use your words against you. The enemy wants to use your words to trap you in a cycle of fruitlessness. I hope you can hear that today. Oftentimes, we are saying things that kill our harvest. Those are harvest-killing statements. God wants to give you a harvest. The devil wants to trick you into saying things that will destroy your crop. I don't know about you, but I don't want to cancel my crop. I want to water my crop. I want to be there to see the harvest, the full harvest come in. And so I speak the word of faith into my atmosphere. I plant faith. I water with faith. I speak out what I want to see. Some of you need to go home and write out what it is that you want to see in your life and begin to speak those things daily. Because as you open your mouth and you speak and you declare, and what you sing and what you shout over your life becomes a reality. Don't waste your words. God created the heavens and the earth with his words. And then he created man in his image. Hebrews 11:3 says, the worlds were framed by the word of God. God framed the world with his words. And then he created us in his image to do those same type of things on earth. So be aware of the things that are coming out of your mouth. They can create or they can destroy. They can build up or they can tear down. It depends on which words you choose to speak. Sometimes we can come into church and not understand the intensity factor. We look around and we see some people doing praise a little bit different. Some people, when they worship, or that they get very excited. And we can be tempted to say, oh, well, that's just that person's personality. And while it's true that some people are a little bit given to a more emotional presentation of their praise and worship, there is a principle and there is power in how we praise. There's a principle for why David danced before the Lord the way he did. There's a principle for why they had to shout with everything they had to bring those walls down. There's a principle behind intensity. So next time when you see somebody just giving God praise in a wild way, in an unorthodox way, I want you to think about the power and the principle of intensity. There are times to be consistent, and there are times to be intense. We have to understand the power behind worshiping with intensity. What Joshua told them is, for 6 days, I want you to focus on consistency. Just march around. It's not about how long you march. It's not about marching around multiple times. It's not about blowing your horns really loud. But it's about the consistency. You get up. You practice obedience. And in that consistency, there is power. It prepares the way. But then he said, on the seventh day, you're going to do something a little bit different. You're going to exercise the principle of intensity. And there, it's very important that we understand there is a balance, there is a benefit to have both things. For 6 days, they were consistent. For one day, they were intense. And so we understand this shout, this intensity in praise is powerful. You have to have intensity to bring walls down. You have to have consistency as well. But a lot of people don't get this because they focus on one or the other. They focus on, well, I'm consistent and I do this daily and da-da-da-da-da. And that's important. You got to have a devotion life. You got to have a reading schedule as you're reading the Word of God. But then you also have to be intense. So I find a lot of times people will normally specialize in consistency or intensity. Some people are so intense, but it doesn't last long, and they get burnt out, and then they stop for a little while. Then they come back, throwing haymakers, so intense. But that's not what the pattern we see in Joshua 6. It is the marriage between consistency and intensity. God, I don't know what's going on in this season, but I'm just going to stay consistent. I'm just going to stay consistent and be obedient to the last thing you told me to do. And then we feel something in our spirit. This is the season. This is the moment for breakthrough. And we become intense. We have to have intensity to bring walls down. 2 Samuel 6:22 says, I will become even more undignified than this. That's what David told Micah when he came back, and it was a moment for intensity. Micah was raised in the royal house of Saul, and she was used to being dignified, and she was used to showing the right things and doing the right things and the right patterns, and she was familiar with consistency. She was not familiar with intensity. And David notified her that he would become even more undignified, even more wild and more intense in his worship than she had seen that day. God is looking for praise that will cause breakthrough in the heavens and on the earth. That is the significance of intensity in worship. I hope you can grab a hold of this, because There's some things in God that he wants for you to advance in 2025, but you can't get there without intensity. You got to have the consistency and the intensity. There will be moments corporately when you need to be intense. There will be times privately when you need to be intense, but you can't do it without intensity. When they gave the shout on the seventh day to bring the walls down, it was a shout of intensity. When the praise went up, the walls came down. I want you to think about this. It's cause and effect. The walls don't come down until the praise goes up. The praise first has to go up, then the walls can come down. Remember that in your life when you see big walls, impossible looking walls. The praise needs to go up, and then the walls will begin to come down. Praise precedes victory. Praise precedes victory. The praise goes up, the walls come down. The praise is several things. And I want to talk to you just about a few of them. These components of praise, we have to understand, well, what is it that I'm bringing? I'm bringing this praise up so that walls can come down. Number one, praise is a response to learning and knowing God. His goodness, his power, his character. It's a response to learning and knowing him. Number two, praise is thanksgiving. It's being thankful for everything that he's done. It's that testimony. It's excitement and joy for all of his blessings. So praise is thanksgiving. Number three, praise is recognition. God, I'm recognizing who you are to me. Who you are as a redeemer, who you are as a creator, who you are as a life giver. Praise is recognition. And number four, praise is a corporate celebration. You can't get away from this, that praise is when we all come together and honor him. It is a unified celebration of who God is. Psalm 145:3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." The fifth thing, praise is movement. It's a song, it's the dance, it's the shout, it's the clapping, it's the energy being released that decimates limitations over your life. Praise is spiritual and natural energy released that causes breakthrough. It was the reverberation of the shout in the spirit and in the natural that brought those walls down at Jericho. And it's the reverberation of your shout and your song and your dance before the Lord that will bring walls down in your life. So don't shy away from intensity. Intensity is necessary, especially when you're staring down big walls. When you got a big wall, you need a big praise. You got a big wall, you need a big shout. You don't need a small shout. You need a big shout if you're going to take down big walls. Big walls require big praise. David had many victories. It's no accident that David was also a man of spiritual intensity. He loved God intensely. He worshiped God intensely. He praised God intensely. He was a man who understood the principle of intensity. So he experienced breakthrough over and over and over again in his life. We can't underestimate the power of the victory shout, the power of intense praise that Joshua 6 shows us. Little intensity, little victory. Big intensity, big victory. Look at the life of David. Study it. You're going to see intensity is a powerful part of his success. And it can be a powerful part of our success. God wants to show us that. And when you sit down, you might just be forfeiting your victory. When you make the decision not to be intense in moments that you need to be intense, you could be forfeiting a victory that God wants to give you. When it's that moment in God's presence and it's a sacred time of intensity and you choose to stand still, you might just be forfeiting your victory. Imagine if in Joshua 6, they walked around 6 days and they had done everything right, and then when the time came for them to give a victory shout, some people shouted and some people just did what they thought was, you know, yeah, and some people didn't say anything at all. Those walls would not have come down. Joshua didn't say, you know, on the seventh day, I want you to shout if you want to, and if you don't want to, just yell a little bit. If that offends you, then just maybe just stand there and give a couple of fist pumps. No, he said, everybody shout like your life depends on it. That is the intensity principle that we have to understand. There are some moments, many, 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 many moments, that are moments that should need consistency. We just need to get up, pray, read the word, start our day. Have powerful, godly habits. Consistent. They don't have to take a huge chunk of time, but have consistency. But then there are seasons when you need to lean in. You need to shout with everything you got. You need to pray with everything you got. You need to read the word like it's the most important thing in the universe for you to understand. There are seasons for intensity. God wants intensity in certain times for two reasons. God wants intensity first because it's what's due him. God wants praise because praise is due him. We praise with intensity because God is worthy of the praise and the glory and the honor in all of the earth. God is worthy of all the accolades that could ever be thought up and spoken. So first, the first reason why I praise with intensity is because he's worthy. Revelation 5:12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." First reason that we praise with intensity is because he's worthy. And the second reason that we praise with intensity is because it's necessary at certain moments to bring the walls down. God wants praise because it causes walls to come down in your life, in my life. So first, it's because he's worthy. Number two, it's because it's going to help you. When you praise with intensity, it brings walls down in your life. When our worship team is up here and we're worshiping and praising with intensity, sometimes we're not just praising for us, but we're praising for others. Sometimes God might ask you to praise intensely, and it's not necessarily for you as it is for somebody else. Maybe that person is in your family. Maybe that person is on your row. Maybe that person is a coworker. But there are times when somebody else hasn't gotten the revelation, and God says, because you've gotten the revelation, I want you to praise with intensity to bring walls down in someone else's life. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody come up to me and they'll give me a somewhat of an apology for the intensity of their praise. And I'll immediately say, don't do that. Don't apologize for intensity in praise, because God sees it as beautiful and I think it is awesome. In this house, we celebrate intensity in praise. And I believe that's something that we should all do. We should all honor and encourage intense praise. It should be something that we all want to grow in. There are moments in our life that we will need intensity in praise. When we release praise, God releases victory. God is not expecting you to do the miraculous. He's expecting you to act in obedience to His word, to His principles, to release the shout. And when you release the shout, He releases victory over your life. I hope you hear that today. When you release the praise, God releases the victory, and God wants you to advance in 2025. It's going to take hearing the word, hearing the strategy. It's going to take focus. You're going to have to march around the walls and not get distracted. It's going to take a daily devotion, blowing the shofar, the repentance, the forgiveness, the reading of the word. And it's going to take the shout of victory. It's going to take that principle of intensity. God loves a cheerful giver. And when we give our intensity with joy and exuberance, it's precious in His sight. And it's instrumental for the breakthrough. It's instrumental in bringing walls down. I want to see God's people advance in 2025. I want to see God's people go up and take the blessing and take the promise that was spoken over their lives. Will you bow your heads and pray with me today? God, I thank You, Lord, for each and every person that's hearing this word. God, we are challenged in our spirit to advance. We're challenged in our spirit to have focus, to hear Your word, to have consistency in how we seek You out, and to have, when the time calls for it, intensity. God, I thank You for every wall that You want to bring down in our lives. I thank You, God, for every precious promise that You have spoken over us. And God, I thank You, Lord, that even though things have been shut up and things have been behind a gate, God, You are causing gates to open up. You're causing walls to come down so that Your people can possess their promise. And as we're praying, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I feel like I've drifted, but I want to reconnect with Him. I know I need to get back on track. I need to get back where I need to be with Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand today. I want to pray for you right where you are. Amen. 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 If you lifted up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this, you can say this prayer too. Jesus, thank You for Your love. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. Thank You for wiping my sins away. I receive Your free gift of salvation. I receive Your free gift of forgiveness. And I'm sorry for the times that I've missed it, for the times that I failed, for the times that I sinned. Jesus, I need You. Please lead me. Guide me. Give me the strength to follow Your commands. Help me live a life that pleases the Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. God bless you. I'm so excited for those steps that you've taken. I want to encourage you, get connected with some good people. The journey is much better when you're connected with people of faith that are a little bit crazy about Jesus as well. I'll leave you with this thought before we go. And that is, if God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. God bless you. Let's advance.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.